Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Welcome to Inspired Conversations. I'm your host, Linda Joy, publisher of Aspire Magazine, the premier inspirational digital magazine for women since 2006. And if you've been following my show for a while, you may also know I'm the publisher at the boutique publishing house, Inspired Living Publishing. And I am so excited. We just had two new releases. Soul-Hearted Living, A Year of Sacred Reflections and Affirmations for Women. And coming up on April 17th, Broken Open, Embracing Heartache and Betrayal as Gateways to Unconditional Love. So, ladies, you know that I'm all about bringing you conversations that inspire you, support you on your journey. And today's conversation is with Lynn Del Mastro Thompson. And I'm excited because I've always believed that we all have a pivot point in our lives, right, that changes the trajectory of our lives. I've shared what mine was. Many of my guests have. Today we're going to be talking about Lynn and how her pivot point really led her to change everything in her life. And I'm sure at the moment it happened, she wished it hadn't, but the work she's doing in the world now, I can see that it was meant to bring her onto this path. Lynn Del Mastro Thompson is a certified body talk practitioner, speaker and author of the Amazon bestseller, You Are Not Your Diagnosis. She holds a master's degree in somatic psychology and has completed additional training in biofeedback, therapeutic yoga, and Reiki. After being misdiagnosed with leukemia at the age of 25, Lynn became passionate about sharing with the world her message that just because a doctor has said an illness is chronic or incurable doesn't mean that it has to be a life sentence, and that Western medicine isn't the only approach to healing. When we explore other holistic options, true healing rather than symptom management can occur, shares Lynn. Through her one-on-one work with clients over the past 8 years, she has helped hundreds of women reclaim their lives and health after receiving a life-changing health diagnosis, as well as helping many other women take charge of their health before chronic illness strikes. Welcome, Lynn.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
I'm excited to have you. Your story really spoke to me because I was misdiagnosed. I'm 57, so I think I was 40. It was a mini stroke, and they told me I had a bunch of disorders. So I remember the feeling, but I can't imagine being 25 years old and misdiagnosed with leukemia. Take us back to that time, which I call a pivot point, right? Take us back to that time of what you were experiencing that led to all of this.
Sure. So back at that time, I was actually in grad school. I was pursuing a PhD in history, thinking that I wanted to teach at the college level. And looking back at it, I think I was just scared to go out and get a job after college, and I thought academia seemed like somehow a better option. And as soon as I got into my program when I was about 21, I immediately didn't feel like I was in the right place. But I wasn't really kind of listening to that inner knowing of, like, what are you doing here? This doesn't quite feel like home to me. And I started having just some kind of more normal stress symptoms, anxiety. I started getting migraine headaches again. And again, I still didn't listen. So this is about kind of 4 years into this not listening and pursuing this path. And I was scheduled that summer to have elective surgery. And when I went in for the pre-op blood work for that, the surgeon called me the night before the surgery. And he said, there's something that looks odd in your blood work. And my heart started racing, of course, because that's not something we want to hear. And he said, you know, it could just be an error in the lab. That happens sometimes. Let's have you come back in tonight. They'll run the test again. Just make sure it's not a lab error or something didn't get switched. And ran the test again. Same problem. Same issue. So what happened then was he said, we can't do this surgery. And I was dropped down a rabbit hole of trying to figure out what was going on because I actually felt completely fine. It was elective surgery for not something that was a real, you know, a problem where I was feeling symptoms. And it was like, what is going on? I have no idea what this means to just be told, you know, something looks really abnormal in your blood work. I went to my primary doctor, I think the next day I could get an appointment, and he did more tests, and then the next thing I know, I was called by this specialist who was a gastroenterologist who I'd never met, and he asked how I was, and I said, other than a bit freaked out that I'm getting a call from a stranger, I'm okay, and he said if I was still feeling no symptoms, then I could spend the night that night at home and meet him at the hospital the next morning. And that was kind of the journey down this rabbit hole of more tests, being transferred to another hospital because I was living in Santa Barbara at the time and they wanted me to go to like a major medical center, and 10 days in the hospital to figure out what was causing the problem. And ultimately, the decision at that time was that it was chronic myelogenous leukemia that had caused me to clot off the veins that drained my liver. And I lived with that diagnosis for about 3 years and never felt like that was right. I never felt like anyone was listening to me when I said, but you keep saying my labs are looking better and I still don't feel well. And only when I got a new hematologist 3 years later, when I left graduate school and left the student health service and I got a referral, that was when it came to light that that was not the correct diagnosis.
I can't even imagine living under the weight of any diagnosis, but especially an incorrect one, when your intuition, as mine did, was telling you, this isn't it. But you have the white coats. We're raised to, you know, put aside our own thoughts and intuition and listen, right, to them.
And exactly.
Yeah, that was a big thing for myself, too. So when you received the correct diagnosis, did things start to shift for you that you said, I knew I was right, and I have to start listening to my own body wisdom?
It definitely was even through that whole process that I kind of kept realizing that, because in between that initial diagnosis and getting the correct medical diagnosis, I was already starting to move away from the graduate program I was in. It took me some time to get insurance that would cover me through a job, and I started listening to my wisdom of, like, I need to explore other options because what they're telling me and that things look better and you should be feeling better was not true. So I started going to like an acupuncturist. I started working with somebody who did biofeedback at the time. And it was really like, I feel like about a year into that process that I really started exploring other options and really listening more to what my body wanted and what my intuition was telling me.
And it's such a big shift, isn't it? It's like when you tap in to your body's message. Now, this led you to a complete career shift, right?
Yes.
Organically, which I always believe our mess is our message, right? And tell me about how that came about. How did you decide? What were the inner processes that led you to decide that this is what I want to do? Because it's a big switch from what you were training for in grad school.
Yes, definitely a big, big switch. So as I kind of dove into that intensive healing process around the end of 2005, and I went back to biofeedback, and then I started a therapist recommendation going to this class that was called Yoga for Healing. I got really interested in these different things I was using, and I could feel how they were helping me. And I still remember the day sitting in this biofeedback session after, you know, a number of months working with this woman, and I had this thought come to me, like, not right now, but when I'm feeling better, I could see myself sitting in the other chair helping someone with these tools.
Wow,
and
that's
that was
powerful.
It was very powerful. It still almost gives me chills to kind of think of that part of me that was just like, I could put myself in a different place than just seeing myself as I'm broken and I need help. But like, when my body recovers enough that I have energy and stamina to actually offer something to people, I could see myself being a tremendous asset to, you know, others going through something similar.
I love stories like that. It's just a moment of insight that the seed was planted. When we come back from our first break, I want to talk more about how your path of getting into the holistic healing field continued to unfold. And we'll be back in a moment. I'm with Lynn Del Mastro Thompson. You can learn more at bodytalkportland.com. We'll be back in a moment.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Are you ready to experience the unshakable love and unleashed passion you really want? Great news! Discover what thousands of people are doing to transform their relationships in ways they never thought possible. And your partner does not need to participate in the process to enjoy the results you want in your relationship. Relationship expert and Aspire magazine columnist Stacey Martino and her husband Paul are the founders of RelationshipDevelopment.org and Relationship U. They have successfully empowered thousands of clients with tools and strategies that really work to transform their relationship, any relationship. And your partner does not even need to participate for their proven system to work for you. Transforming your relationship is possible, and it begins with you. Take the first step and visit RelationshipDevelopment.org today.
Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at Om Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. Om Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business.
Do you have time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth Radio is conscious living for your soul, every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Hey, America, we need to have a little talk. We've got more food than we know what to do with in this country, yet 17 million kids in America are struggling with hunger. Makes no sense. Luckily, the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks has volunteers gathering excess food and getting it to hungry kids. They're kind of like food angels. Hey, become a food angel yourself by supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org. We can't do it without your help. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
This is OTRFM. Part of the IOM Radio Network.
Welcome back. You're listening to Inspired Conversations. I'm your host, Linda Joy. And today with me is Lynn Del Mastro Thompson, a certified body talk practitioner, speaker, and author. So, Lynn, that moment that a little seed was planted as you were being worked on by a practitioner, and you had that moment of awareness of, I could be sitting in the other chair, and that was biofeedback, correct?
That was correct, yeah.
What did any of the little seeds get planted along the journey, or how did it unfold for you?
It definitely was. It felt like other little seeds. That the Yoga for Healing class that I mentioned became really a powerful part of kind of my self-care routine. And then I found out that the teacher who taught that class, who was just one of the most beautiful people I've ever met, just on the inside especially, she was teaching a class on how to teach therapeutic yoga. And so I was inspired to start training with her and then pursue yoga as another tool. And then I also had a pretty profound experience. I can't remember exactly how far into the journey, with someone who did Reiki. And I remember getting up off of the table after the session and looking at my face in the mirror and just seeing so much more energy and vitality in my body than, you know, I had seen in quite some time. So it was all of these kind of little pieces that started inspiring me to explore all of these modalities. And I was also kind of realizing that, okay, I have all this background as a historian. That doesn't really qualify me to work with people in this capacity. You know, I can teach people things. So I decided to go back to a different graduate program and study psychology. And I found a program in something called somatic psychology because I really was much more interested in the connection between the body and the mind than just talking about mind stuff and belief systems. So I was lucky there was this unique program right where I was living, and I signed up for that in 2007 and spent a couple of years getting a master's degree to really have a context with which to use these other tools that I knew I wanted to bring into my work.
I think it's so beautiful how all the seeds just, you know, came together to create such a beautiful bloom of the work you're doing in the world. But I want to circle back for a moment because it's something you just said, you mentioned at the beginning, and I found it. I do a lot of spiritual coaching, intuitive coaching for my clients, and it's a thread I see. And in the beginning of the conversation, you said you were in the original program, the doctoral program. You knew it really wasn't for you, but were you not listening? You mentioned something about not listening, and I find that's a big thread. That, like, for me, it was I wasn't listening. I had a business when I was 40, and I wasn't listening to all the signs my body was giving me. I was doing 14, 16-hour days because I thought I was superwoman. In fact, I had articles written that I was superwoman, so, of course, I couldn't let down the world because then they'd know I really wasn't. And I kept ignoring the signs. I call them my word, God flicks, you know, little flicks in the ear. Hey, there's a niggle going on in your body. You better pay attention. And, of course, I didn't.
Right.
Until I waited till the cosmic 2x4, which is a mini stroke at 40. And but while they were diagnosing that, they were telling me I had MS. They were telling me I had advanced stage Lyme disease. And I was laying there for those, I'd say 5 days while, you know, you've lived through it. While everyone's trying to get their shit together to figure out what was wrong with me, I was told, don't move, don't be left alone, don't exercise, don't walk. We don't know if it's aneurysm, embolism. Like, you know, you've gone through it. But yeah. I remember saying, this isn't true. It's not true. I don't give a shit what they say on my medical records. I don't feel this to be true. Mm-hmm. And it was a knowing. Now, I wish I could tell you that it was I quickly awakened to it. I fell into the fear of, what if you're wrong and they are right? But within 3 months, I knew Lynn. And I started doing both, like you did, honoring what I had to do in the medical system, because my family would have killed me if I hadn't. and I was a mom. And honoring my truth at the same time. Like, I refused to give over my truth to that diagnosis.
Yeah.
Is that what it felt like for you, that you saw things escalating in your own body or felt them, but for whatever, either belief system, society, etc., you kept ignoring them and pushing through, which led to your illness? That was my truth. Was that yours?
Definitely. I remember, you know, being back in the program and really feeling unhappy. I remember many phone calls where I would call my parents and I would say, I don't feel like I belong here. Like, everyone else seems so happy doing all of these things that are requirements. and I feel completely miserable. And there were all these conversations about, well, do you know what you want to do? And I was always, my answer at that point was always, no, I have no clue. And the unknown at that time seemed more terrifying of just saying, okay, well, I don't know what I want to do, but I'm going to quit the program and go out and get a job and just figure it out as I go along. So I kind of kept ignoring that part of me that was like, but you know, this isn't your place. This doesn't belong. This is not where you belong. It was like, but I don't know where I belong, so I need to have some place and something to cling on to. And my body, again, kept kind of, I kind of call it just being tapped on the shoulder, you know, more headaches, more anxiety, starting to get panic attacks. And I just didn't listen. And it's funny you use that phrase, cosmic 2x4, because that's exactly how I describe it. It's like, okay, you're not listening to the smaller nudges. It is the cosmic 2x4.
Oh, I've been telling everyone that since it happened when I was 40. I'm like, I joke and say, I was a slow learner. I don't get the God flicks. I wait, as I shared, for the cosmic 2x4 because that's what it feels like, right? But in reality, we bring it on ourselves when we become, I'll speak for myself, when I became disconnected from my body because I was pushing it, striving, trying to, you know, run a business. I had lost myself, my connection to my truth, my connection to my body. I was like a little machine doing, thinking for the wrong reasons. But, I was 40 years old. I don't have the wisdom I have now at 57, right? Okay. Now I see that it was my body and soul trying to speak to me. And I use soul a lot because it's how I navigate through life. And In the work that you're doing with women now, when someone says to you, I'm so unhappy in whatever it is, job, relationship, etc., do you dive into that to say, listen, there's a story here, and if we don't address it, illness will come?
Definitely, and definitely in kind of the body talk way of working that I use, that will naturally come up because that's going to be one of the factors that the body is trying to communicate in all likelihood. What's going on? It's like you're in a circumstance where, you know, you're constantly triggered by your relationship and you're unhappy, or, you know, you're working way too many hours and this is not sustainable for your body.
For those unfamiliar with body talk, give us a brief overview of what body talk is and what it means to be a body talk practitioner.
Sure. So body talk is a modality that really looks at understanding the story behind the symptoms. So instead of having kind of a standard protocol of like, oh, you're coming in for headaches or you're coming in for back pain, and this is how we treat that particular issue, we're much more interested in why is your body expressing whatever's going on through headaches. And that, you know, for some people could be that they're eating things that they're allergic to, or they're too stressed out, or, you know, they actually do have something structurally off in their skeletal system. It's like there's a whole list, and sometimes it's more than one thing, right? Because most things, if it's chronic going on, it's not just like, oh, it's because you eat one thing that doesn't agree with you. It's usually a compounded issue. So as we unpack kind of that story and we see it kind of through the quantum physics perspective, it's like we're observing what's coming to light, we're bringing it up to the surface, then that's actually when the shifts start to happen. So as a practitioner, I'm just trained to kind of come into the space. I don't really have an agenda when someone comes in of, oh, you told me it's this, so therefore I'm sure it's going to be about, you know, what happened to you when you were 2 years old. I'm just there to listen to the body and listen to the person's innate wisdom that knows the whole picture. And then I am kind of the witness of what is coming up for them. So it's like in that holding space and witnessing process, I'm also helping to facilitate the shift.
And it sounds like in the process, they're reconnecting with their body so they can hear what it has to say. Because I believe so many of us, especially women, are disconnected from their body in so many ways.
Very much so. I think, and we live in a society, that's one of the things I talk about in the book, where it's just, we're conditioned to think, oh, well, I have this irritating symptom, or I have, you know, a headache or a stomach ache. Let me just grab something like a Tylenol or, you know, a Pepto-Bismol and just go on with my day because I need to get back to doing what I have to do instead of, oh, what is this really about? Why do I have this particular symptom?
So true. And as I've learned, and I'm not perfect, I still struggle at times, I've learned that if I slow, well, my life is a lot slower now because I created it that way. Even though mm-hmm. I have 5 brands and businesses, I have a lot of spaciousness in my life because that's my personal choice. But when I feel an ache or pain, I know it's for a reason. Like, So I'm more tuned in, I guess I'm saying, than I ever have been. And when we come back from our next break, I'd love for you to share a key way that people can begin listening to their bodies and its wisdom, because I think it's such a powerful tool. And the work you're doing in the world, helping women reconnect to the wisdom within, is powerful. So I'm excited to have you share it. And we'll be back in a moment with Lynn Delmastro-Thompson of BodyTalkPortland.com.
Free your mind. Expand your soul. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Inspiration for a woman's soul. Aspire Magazine. Inspiring and supporting women on the path of self-discovery. Claim your free digital subscription today, which includes access to thousands of dollars of personal development bonus gifts from Team Inspiration Partners. Claim your Aspire Magazine subscription today at subscribetoaspire.com.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hi everyone, this is Shay Parker, the host of Best of the Best, which airs live right here on IOM Radio every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern and 5 p.m. Pacific. I'm super excited to bring you expert guest hosts, spiritual discussions, free psychic readings, and so much more. I can promise that you will not want to miss this one-of-a-kind, fun, yet touching, down-to-earth show. Join us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Pacific on OTRFM. This is Shay Parker, and I can't wait to see you there.
The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is. A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Hi, you're listening to Inspired Conversations. I'm your host, Linda Joy. And today we're talking about your body, the wisdom it has, how to tap into it, to listen so you can learn what the symptoms are trying to tell you. So, Lynn, what is one of the key ways that people can begin listening to their bodies and its wisdom?
So one of the things I like to teach is just to spend some time getting quiet and tuning in. So this kind of looks like guiding yourself almost through a little meditation where you spend a few minutes just kind of breathing and just becoming a little more present than in your analytical go-go-go day-to-day life. And then just asking as you kind of get into that space, asking that area that's giving you, you know, some sort of symptom, some kind of discomfort or pain, what its message is for you. And sometimes when we first try this practice, if we've never done it before, we initially feel like we won't hear anything, you know, we'll ask the question and there's like radio silence. So I encourage people to, you know, give a few moments, ask the question a couple times, and if they don't get the answer the first day that they do it, sometimes it's kind of like you have to build that new relationship with the body. So it's like, okay, I'll try again later today, or I'll try again tomorrow, and I'll ask the question. And usually after, you know, giving that a little bit of time and maybe doing it a few times in a row, you will start to get a sense. You'll kind of get that inner message. Maybe it's words pop into your head. Maybe you get images pop into your head. Maybe you just know, like, oh, this pain is about, you know, that argument that I had with my friend or, you know, my spouse. And then just kind of trusting that is also part of the process, because we can often get back into our analytical head and be like, is that right? Did I do this right? Did I try this technique right? So just trusting what comes through. And the second question I also love to include when I do this is just like asking that area after we receive what its message is what does it need from me? So, you know, if it's like my neck hurts, well, what does this pain need? You know, what do you need neck in order for the symptom to start to shift? And again, it may be a process of learning to listen to that. It may take a few tries. It may take a few consecutive days of doing it to really get the message if you're new to something like this.
Well, it's really, like you said, you've used the word trust a lot. It's learning to trust that your body knows the answers. You just have to get out of your head so you can hear it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's why I think it's great to, you know, either do some breathing, or even if you have like a meditation that you love, a guided meditation, do that first to try and get yourself out of your, you know, left brain analytical mind where you're trying to figure out what it is from an analytical perspective of, well, maybe I ate that thing yesterday that sometimes I think maybe bothers me, or, you know, all of that analytical piece that we can get into, and just really dropping into the body and dropping into the wisdom that's there.
I think it's so beautifully said. And what have you yourself learned about the true nature of healing? Because you've had a heck of a journey, but you've also worked with one-on-one with clients over the past 8 years. What have you learned?
I've learned that there's far more healing potential than we certainly are led to believe by Western medicine. That's definitely one key thing. You know, it makes me a little bit crazy to hear, you know, when somebody's been told this is chronic, and in Western medical speak, that means this will never go away. Like, we'll give you a pill and we'll kind of manage this for you, but, you know, it's never going to get better. I have seen people, you know, completely heal from things that a doctor would say, that's not possible. Well, their only tools are, you know, surgery and pills. Is that the only way that we can heal? Certainly not. And I've also learned that it's just really, I mean, it's about a journey that we have to take for ourselves, and that looks different for each of us. You know, for me, it was exploring a lot of different modalities, finding practitioners that could support me, finding modalities that I resonated with, and really diving in and being willing to do some deep work, because a lot of times when we're feeling ill or when we have something that we need to heal, it takes some work to dig in and process through things instead of just kind of staying on the surface level.
Oh, so true. And for me, that is how I started. Like, I had never done Reiki before my situation came up, and it was like, I was nervous. I'm like, what is this strange thing, you know? And then I was so blown away by it. I got trained in it, and this is going back many years ago, was so blown away by that it led to my first massage, which I was blown away again of what it did, became a certified massage therapist. So like your journey, the seeds were planted. Mm-hmm. But it was all things I did to dive deeper into, let me understand this. Because we're not taught these things. We're not taught these modalities that are out there. And for many, I've been around for a long time, like Reiki, right? We're not raised knowing about them. Mm-hmm. And that's why I wanted to have this conversation with you today, because even body talk, I wasn't familiar with it. And I'm like, what is this? And and I just love the idea. So it's of it, and wanted to have this conversation with you because as I shared a moment ago, we're not raised knowing about everything that's out there to help our body heal naturally.
Right. There's so many things. I mean, I'm sure there's modalities that I haven't yet heard of or experienced as well. And I think the beauty of that is not everything is going to work for everyone at every time.
Exactly. I'm glad you said that.
There's so many options that for me, it was like kind of a, I viewed it as I opened this door and there was like this hidden buffet in it. And I'm like, oh, well, I'll try a little scoop of, you know, this, a little energy work. And then I'll try some acupuncture and, you know, making kind of my own plate of different things. And if something didn't work, I didn't get into the space of getting super discouraged about it. I was like, okay, well, I guess that's just not the thing or not part of my combination that I need right now. Didn't mean necessarily that I completely discounted that, whether it would work for me later or whether it works for someone else. But it's like, maybe that's just not the flavor that I needed right now.
And I've also come to discover is we all process energy differently, right? So I'm glad that you said that not every modality fits in at the moment, you know, because there was other modalities. I tried acupuncture way back when I was a smoker 25 years ago. At the time, it helped me. But for some reason, I never went back, even though I believed in its power because it helped me quit a horrible habit. But there's times that I've felt led to go back to acupuncture, and I don't know why I talked myself out of it when it did have a positive influence. In fact, it's so funny because I was just looking at a naturopath website, and she also does acupuncture, so maybe I'm starting to go back around. But do you believe, too, that like you created a cocktail, you kept experimenting. Is that part of what you believed helped you heal, the openness?
Yeah, I think the openness, definitely. And I see that in, like, I have a client that I've been working with for about 7 or 8 months now. And it's really beautiful to witness right now. She is, like, going through this expansion of trying even more things. I had connected her with another practitioner to work on a piece around just being an empath and not knowing how to manage that because it's definitely overwhelming her and affecting her health. And then she said, and now I'm starting to see a naturopath about this. And so she's kind of, I see her in that place that I remember where I was like, so I've tried this one thing and it's really amazing. And now what else can I add to my plate that would really enrich the experience and enrich my healing process?
Yeah, it's like, it's almost like you're on a treasure hunt. Right, and you're trying to find that the magical combination that will work for you. For me, some of the things that you mentioned, I love guided meditations, and so a lot of people say, "How can you get so much done in a day?" And I go, "Because I take time throughout the day, even if it's just 1 to 5 minutes. You know, sometimes I can do 10, but it's reconnecting with my soul and my body throughout the day." I think we forget how to do that. And I had to learn because I was so disconnected. Do you have a daily practice of doing something like that, checking in throughout the day so that you know you're honoring your body and wisdom?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think my biggest part of my practice is usually in the morning before I get started with working. Right now, my practice is this new style of breath work that I've just trained in back in February. And so I'm using that, which is pretty much brings me into a meditative state as well, doing that work. But I definitely keep checking in throughout the day. Like before I see a client, I'll, you know, do some grounding for my own self, kind of checking in with my body, you know, where's my energy? Is there anything I need to support myself before I'm serving somebody else? Because that's a huge one for a lot of people too, right? We're kind of extending ourselves from a place of being overextended. So we need to kind of practice that pause and like, what do I need in this moment before I give to someone else?
Especially those in the fields that we're in. So a lot of my guests, my clients, those in my programs, they're all spiritual entrepreneurs, coaches, therapists, healers, life coaches, business coaches. They're givers. And a lot of times they struggle with, where's that line of giving back to yourself? And I think the best coaches and all of those who are like you discover that you have to start with yourself first if you want to be at the highest level of service.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's foundational. It's like I most days try not to plan anything before at least 9 o'clock in the morning, because that I need that time for me to do what I need to get ready for the day.
And that's powerful. It's powerful that you already, you know that, and more importantly, that you set the time aside, because it's so easy to get pulled off track, right? Well, I really need only 8 a.m. appointments, and you start saying yes and giving up your own time. And I think having strong boundaries around that is what keeps us healthy. I had to learn that. I didn't have strong boundaries in regard, because I'm service-based. That's my energy. And I realized I can serve at a higher level, serve more people when I have my sacred container and honor my boundaries.
Exactly.
And that shifted everything in my life and in my business. So we're going to take our last break, and when we come back, I want to talk about what your book is about. I'm so excited for you, and your book is You Are Not Your Diagnosis. And we'll be back in a moment. You can learn more about Lynn Del Mastro Thompson at BodyTalkPortland.com.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
The secret to success in life and in business is learning to understand yourself. Because the more you can see what is underneath your reactions empowers you to become a more inspiring and impactful leader. Whether you're looking to develop into a more effective leader in your business, organization, family, or relationship, Dr. Catherine Hayes can help you develop your inherent leadership potential using the power of the Enneagram. Catherine is a dual-certified professional leadership and life coach, Enneagram facilitator, speaker, a member of the Forbes Coaches Council, and the author of the best-selling book, Everything is Going to Be Okay, From the Projects to Harvard to Freedom. If you're ready to discover how your Enneagram personality type drives your patterns of behaviors so you can be empowered to live and lead with more confidence and ease, schedule a call with Dr. Catherine today at CatherineHayesCoaching.com.
Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at Om Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. Om Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business.
Me, a cat, moving in with a new human. It took a little getting used to. She has these weird games she likes to play, like this giant feather. She sticks it in my face. I swat it away. She sticks it in my face. I swat it away. It's almost like she thinks I enjoy it. But seeing how much fun she gets out of it, well, I guess it makes it all worth it. Humans.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Welcome back. You're listening to Inspired Conversations. I'm your host, Linda Joy. With me today is Lynn Del Mastro Thompson, certified body talk practitioner, speaker, and author of the Amazon bestseller, You Are Not Your Diagnosis. So let's talk about this. Your journey led you to write this book, so tell us what it's about.
Sure. So the book is kind of in three parts. The first part is my story, so I go really in depth into that journey that started when I was in grad school and going through the diagnostic process, which is actually a misdiagnosis, and just kind of the whole detailed experience, which I've heard resonates with a lot of people going through something similar. And then the second part is kind of some of the lessons that I learned. So different things about kind of the power of our mind and our belief systems. I talk a lot about some placebo research that I find really fascinating in one of the chapters. So there's different kind of wisdom pieces and perspective shifting pieces for people that may be going through a similar experience to what I went through with chronic illness. And then the third part is really just some simple strategies and tools that people can start to use if they're in that place of, you know, having been given a diagnosis, and it's like, well, what can I start to do to move beyond that? Because my work is really all focused on helping people thrive beyond that. I don't believe that it's like this is a curse, basically, or it's a life sentence. I want people to be able to get back to living life and feel healthy and thrive again.
I'm glad you brought up mindset and beliefs, too, because that plays an important role. And when did you release your book, Lynn?
Last spring. I think it was last April, so about a year ago.
Well, congratulations. As a publisher, I know the heart and soul that goes into writing a book. So I love that you're now sharing the lessons and the wisdom with others. What would be your top tip for those who have not been prioritizing their health and they're listening to this conversation going, uh-oh, that's me. I don't want to wait. I don't want to get the cosmic 2x4. What can they start doing?
I think starting, you know, that using that tool even that I mentioned about just asking the body, like, what does it need? What is it starting to communicate to you is one powerful way to do that. And I think the other key thing is just starting to reevaluate, like, how are you spending your time? Do you have some sort of a self-care practice for yourself? And I always like to remind people that self-care, it doesn't have to mean that you're spending a bunch of money all the time. It doesn't have to mean that you're meditating for an hour every day. It can be things that are free, and it can be things done in small increments of time, you know. Like you mentioned, throughout the day, you know, even just like 2 to 5 minutes, kind of coming back in, checking back in. It doesn't have to be long. It can be really simple and a way to integrate easily into your already busy life.
I'm so glad we're talking about that, because one of the big things, Aspire Magazine, we do talk a lot about self-care, and I've heard those same things from women like, you know, I don't have a budget for massage, or I can't do this, and I'm like, wait a minute. Self-care isn't massages and, you know, hot tubs and all of that. Self-care is giving your body and soul what it needs in the moment. And as I shared, I had to learn that, right? I struggled with self-care for many years. And as I just shared with a client who was struggling yesterday with all these full moon energies, I said, listen, take a moment, step outside, go near a tree. This is self-care. Put your hand on your heart and bring your mind and your attention back into your heart, away from your head. Feel your feet ground. I said, take 2 minutes to do that. She called me 15 minutes later and said, oh, my God, why didn't I know about this? I said, it's your body. It's you. It's just you gave yourself permission to listen. So that's self-care. So like you said, it doesn't have to cost money.
Mm-hmm. That could
some of my favorites first. Actually don't cost money. It's just taking breaths. So do you notice that a lot of people associate self-care with spending money?
I think so. I think because, I don't know, there's some sort of piece that seems to be, I don't know whether it's driven by advertising or something. Yeah, massage seems to be always associated with that, or going for, you know, a spa day. And I mean, yes, that certainly can be a form of self-care, but that is not the only form of self-care. You know, it could be just going for a walk around your neighborhood on a nice day, or, you know, going out and standing in a forest with trees around you. Like, why does it have to be that you have to pay someone to? And I think there's that element too. It's almost like you're always, if you have that attitude, I have to go spend money on it, well, then you're expecting someone else.
Yeah, that's. I'm glad you said that. That's a powerful statement, because the whole topic of this conversation, why I wanted you here, is your body has natural healing abilities. Your body has the answers. We just have to slow down enough. And one of the other things I love to do is sometimes if I have, you know, back-to-back calls, but I have like 30 minutes, I pop in either a favorite speaker, sometimes it's a podcast, you know, one of those like 10-minute ones, just to tap into the high-vibe energy. That's self-care. You know, listen to the show, ladies, is self-care, right? It's tapping into the energies that you want to attract into your life. and the feelings that you want to attract. That's what's worked for me anyway.
Mm-hmm. And I think also what that points to, too, is each day it can be different as well. It's like it doesn't always have to be, well, every day I always do, I listen to this guided meditation, and that's my self-care. It's like, well, maybe you don't want that day. Maybe you want to go out and walk in the sunshine one day, and then one day you need to take a bath and, you know, just soak and let things release that way. It can be very different from day to day.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I'm very my energy is different on different days. It's always across the board, but some days I want something more active, like going for the walk. Other times I just want to step out, put my hand on the heart, and just breathe for a few minutes, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really not just putting yourself in a box, too. It's like, again, listening, what do I need in this moment?
Yes. Yep, exactly, which all comes back to that piece of just taking that time. We have the answers inside of us, and we just need to learn to listen.
What, as we come to a close, is there something you feel led you want to share? If there's a woman struggling right now with issues, whether it's chronic illness or just knowing that she's disconnected from her body, I invite you to share a message for her and for all our listeners.
I think the message is, you know, it takes small steps. That's another thing that we often think we have to make huge changes in our life, and it sometimes can be the littlest things that make a difference. So baby steps is kind of my advocation for people, whether that's been you haven't paid attention to yourself in a long time, just make it a little baby step. If you're not feeling well and you're dealing with illness, what's one little baby step I can take today to just move a little bit further forward in the direction I'd like?
And baby steps feel so much more comfortable, don't they?
Yes.
You know, because if we see, if we're at A and we want to get to Z, just the thought of that, doesn't matter if that's whatever that goal is in any area of our life, it can seem a little frightening and overwhelming. But as you said, if you don't look at Z, you just keep your eyes that's where you want to go and just go to B and C, you're moving forward.
And you'll get there, you know, probably just the same, maybe even faster, because you're not going into overwhelm of, I have to get all the way to the end of, and my end goal, and I need to do that as fast as possible.
Yeah, when you put that timetable on it, that's ego again, you know what I mean? Like, I have to do it one way and one way only, and I have to get there. It's, you know,
immediately.
And it comes from slowing down.
Yep. Just like one little step, you know, and if that step feels good and you can take another little step today, great. If that was all you can do today, then, you know, celebrate that you took a step. And, you know, don't buy into that mentality that we have to completely change everything in our lives all at once.
It's so true. So I want to say, Lynn, thank you for being here. Thank you for doing the work you're doing in the world. And I want to invite everyone, visit Body Talk Portland.com to learn more about Lynn's services, her book, You Are Not Your Diagnosis, and everything else that she's up to in the world. Thank you again, Lynn.
Thank you.
And everyone, I hope to see you every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. And until the next show, choose love, choose joy, choose happiness, my friends. Blessings.
Thanks for listening to Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy. Join our sacred space every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern and meet leading female visionaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. Inspired Conversations with Linda Joy is a soulful venue where guests share the obstacles they've overcome, along with wisdom and lessons learned on their personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic and soulful living.